What kind of benefits did whites offer? No benefits.
Oh, very, very limited. Mm-hmm. Very limited. Yes, they had the hospitalization, that was about it.
Was there any medical, or was it just, hospitalization? Did you have medical benefits where, you know, like Blue Cross Blue Shield, I don't know.
We did have Blue Cross and Blue Shield mm-hmm. there, yeah. Mm-hmm. But there was no, like, dental or anything like mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. It was just a medical, if you had to go to the hospital, they paid, what, 80% of it, okay. or whatever it was, and that was it.
Okay. Did you have to work there for a certain amount of time before you got medical benefits?
About a year, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably about average. Yeah. Now. What about educational benefits? Did they offer any sort of educational benefits through community colleges or tech schools or anything
no,
like that?
No, not when I was there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When my first child was born, I missed collecting insurance by one day.
Oh.
One day.
Wow. And they wouldn't give it to you by one day. Wow. We have a whole bunch of questions about, and you can tell me if you want to answer any of these questions, but since you didn't work there during the time of the takeover and the subsequent closing of the factory, it's not necessary. But we have a whole bunch of questions about the takeover, and if you'd like to comment at all on anything that you know about. I mean, you've mentioned that you did hear that the quality of work did go down, and that it's had an impact on this community economically for sure. What are some of the other places in town that people could, or are there places sort of in the area that people could get work from whites, from who didn't work, you know, who got laid off from whites?
I understand several people went to Craftique.
Craftique, is that another furniture?
That's another furniture place.
Okay. Where's that located?
Up Highway 70, Torch Hall River, uh-huh. Highway 70 West, probably about 3 miles out of town. They make exclusively mahogany, solid mahogany.
Okay, so the quality of their furniture is pretty
good.
Good as
Very
well.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Was Craftique operating while you were at White?
Yes. Craftique has been around as long as White's has.
Was there any kind of competition between White furniture factory, furniture makers, and Craftique furniture makers? Did you all make different kinds of
furniture? See, they deal more like in the solid mahogany,
mm-hmm.
where a lot of white stuff was veneer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it was?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like 90% of their stuff is veneer.
Really?
Oh,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. 90% of their stuff is veneer.
Wow. And that's always been.
It's always been veneer. In fact, downstairs in the very basement down there, that's what they did, is put veneer on the tabletops and cabinet tops and dresser tops and stuff like this.
See, I didn't realize that at all. I always thought it was, well, that's a good thing to know in case I come across any secondhand ones.
It's veneer.
Good quality veneer, but veneer
that's
nonetheless.
That's it. Good quality, but nonetheless, it's veneer.
It sounds like you enjoyed your work.
I did. I really did.
Why did you quit?
I went to work for a local retail furniture store,
mm-hmm.
Reliable Furniture,
mm-hmm.
which is a retail outlet store. I went
mm-hmm.
to work over there.
Mm-hmm. Have you worked there ever since?
I worked there for 16 years.
Oh, my.
I'm with Roach Image Analysis in Burlington.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
I went to work with Reliable. This is getting off the subject.
Oh, no,
bit.
That's okay.
But when I first got married, okay, we bought some used furniture
mm-hmm.
from Reliable. Okay. So then the owner and manager of Reliable came to see me one day after I paid my bill, been paid off for a couple of months. And I thought, why is he coming to see me? He said, how did that do if I wanted to take it in the store? I said, no. And I told him I appreciate it, but I would decline. Anyway, this is like June or July. All right, like October, he came back. I don't know if I'd be interested in helping him, like on the weekends or in the afternoons. I said, delivering furniture. I said, sure, you know, as a second job because I need a little extra income. And I worked there until March of the following year, part-time. And he came over to me one day and handed me a set of keys to one of the company trucks. He said, these are yours permanent if you want it. That's how I went to work at Reliable.
Wow.
Plus, I got more money and better benefits at Reliable than I had at White's.
Right.
And that's why I went to Reliable.
Did they sell White furniture?
No.
They didn't. Did you feel, though, that you had expertise in selling furniture because you had worked in a furniture, that you'd actually built
furniture? I knew a little
bit about
it. Yeah. Sure did.
Yeah, so they gave you better pay, better
benefits. I was outside, you know, out of company truck. I was always going, you know,
on the road.
Delivering to people's houses, helping servicemen, servicemen, appliances, whatever case might be. I was outside going, and I was happy.
Sure. You know. Very different from your work at White's,
being inside
the factory all the time.
Yeah.
Did you like the other work better?
Reliable?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because I was outside.
Mm-hmm.
I was always traveling. I was going somewhere, doing something different.
Was your father happy that you got the job at Reliable?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I bet.
Yeah.
Oh, that's much better.
Sure was.
Yeah. Let's see. Do you remember the letter, and I think it was published in the Mebane newspaper. I think it was published in the Mebane newspaper that Steve White wrote to the employees of the factory.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think about that?
I sincerely think he meant everything he said.
You do?
I really do. And I think he was like everybody else. He hated to see it close.
Mm-hmm.
Really.
How did other folks respond to that?
I really don't know.
Yeah,
I've not heard too much comment.
Really?
About that letter. I really have not.
It was really amazing to see it published in the
mm-hmm.
newspaper.
Right.
It was pretty amazing, I thought.
I think Mr. Steve White had a real caring for his employees.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
I think he probably hated to see this thing happen as much as
mm-hmm.
the employees themselves did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you remember any union organizing during the time that you were there, or any talk of any union?
Oh, they tried. Organizing? Yeah, but they got nowhere.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
What do you mean by they got nowhere? Trying to get what got people
the employees,
saying the same thing.
The employees wouldn't accept it.
Why not?
They were happy with like they were.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't want the union coming up because they knew the union would probably drive up prices and
mm-hmm.
whatever. They didn't want it in there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was this when you were working there, or was it earlier?
When I was there.
Okay.
I forget what year, but I was there at the time.
One of the people who was working on this project read something. I don't know if it was in a newspaper or he came across something that said that there's an attempt at some kind of union organizing even in the 50s. Do you
that
remember?
That was before my time. So.
And your father wouldn't have said anything about
I'd never heard
like
him
that.
Mention it. Never heard him mention that. So.
Yeah.
I know nothing about that.
I'm remembering Robert Riley said the exact same thing that you said about the union, and that there was some attempt, but that people were not at all interested in it because they didn't think it was going to help them any.
That's,
that they were very happy with
that's
what
exactly
they
right.
had.
That's exactly right.
But that there was that there it was sort of still around, but nobody was really involved in it.
In the union?
Yeah.
It may have been. Yeah, but nobody, like I said, nobody was involved in it, so
where
it kind of just faded out.
Yeah, what part of the factory did this sort of come up?
The union?
Yeah.
I guess the entire factory.
It was. I was hoping you were going to say the finishing room.
Oh, really? No, I think the entire factory. I don't think that they singled out any specific department. No.
So did an outside organizer come in to the factory and try to organize, or did it happen from within?
There was some meeting. Yeah, there was outside organizers.
Ah, okay.
I think there was a couple of union meetings, but nobody.
Nobody went.
Participated or whatever. There may have been one or two, but you know.
Yeah. Well, we've sort of noticed that throughout in most furniture factories, there hasn't been any. Mainly because people have been real happy with what they've, you know, with what they have.
Right. Like I said, you know, everybody took pride in their work. You know, everybody was satisfied with the way things worked, so they thought it hurt us more than helped us.
Yeah. Do you remember anybody getting fired while you were there?
There were occasions, sure.
Certainly not necessary for you to talk about specific people, but under what circumstances, what would a person have to do in order to get?
Generally, basically what I know is just like people wouldn't work.
Right, okay.
You know, they wouldn't show up, or they would be constantly late, or, you know, that was basically the main reason they just wouldn't show up or whatever.
Would the supervisors give them a couple chances?
Oh, yeah.
And again, that sounds like it's because people knew each other and wanted each other to do well and work hard.
I know one case, you know, in the cabinet room down there where they gave us one guy several different chances, you know, to straighten up.
Mm-hmm. He just didn't do it. Did people from the Hillsboro plant ever come to work in the Mevin plant while you were there? Or was there back and forth movement at all between the two plants?
In the shipping department, there was a couple of guys up there who would transfer supplies mainly from the Mevin to the Hillsboro plant.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the Hillsboro plant would run a sample cutting for us, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
and would transport it back up here to have a finishing plant up here.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically all I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm. Robert Riley worked at the Hillsboro plant for a while, and he said that there were certain things that they didn't do over at the Hillsboro plant, that they would like get to a certain point and then they'd ship their stuff. They put it in a truck and drive it over to the Mevin plant, and then Mevin plant would finish.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Off what?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, so they worked. Not necessarily closely together, but they were working together, really.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
When did that Hillsboro plant close? Was it in the 80s?
In the 80s. When did it close, huh? Don't quote me. I'm saying probably 85.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
88, somewhere right along in there. I'm not sure exactly.
I have just a couple more questions relating to the relationship between the factory and the town. White Factory is located like smack dab right there in the middle of the town.
Mm-hmm.
And you've talked a little bit, especially about, you know, sitting out on the bench and that kind of stuff. But it's very centrally located. Can you talk to me a little bit about what you think the relationship was between the factory as a factory or as employees making up the factory and the town of Mevin itself, especially given the fact that you also, your father also worked there.
Right. Well, because the location of White's and Kingsdown, people came in, like my father, we were born and raised out in Caswell County.
Mm-hmm.
And we moved to Mevin in 55. We built a house over here.
Mm-hmm.
And because Dad had already left the farm and came to White's to work.
He went directly from the farm
to White's.
To White's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was your dad unusual in doing that, or did lots of families go directly from the farm to the factory?
Well, it was getting on the farm, it was getting to where, you know, labor was getting to be hard to find, work was getting to be, and really, by they had transferred to, we did not own our farm out there, and this was more of a security benefit for Dad, you know, to come into to Whites mm-hmm. and go to work. And I guess, you know, the town is sort of built around Whites as well as Kingstown. Mm-hmm. Because Kingstown has been there since, what, 1880-something, mm-hmm. way back, like mm-hmm. Whites. So.
Oh gosh, I had a question right on the tip of my tongue and now I just lost it. Oh, what percentage of the town would you say, especially during the time when you were coming up, what percentage of the town do you think worked for Whites? And I'm just asking you to guess.
75-80%.
Yeah. So life
because
really...
Because if you didn't work at Whites, you worked at Kingstown.
Right. You know. Where is Kingstown? I
across, right across the railroad tracks from Whites.
Oh.
Right across the railroad tracks.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
So if you didn't work there, you worked at
Kingstown.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That really was about Kingstown, Whites, and Craft Tech were probably back then the only three major employers
did
in
they,
Mebane.
Did they pay pretty much the same, or did they pay different?
Kingstown paid a lot more than Whites.
That's what I was saying. Kingstown probably paid more than Whites.
Was it especially harder to get a job at Kingstown?
I never tried, so I can't say it was hard. I can't say that because I never tried. I don't know.
Was Kingstone family owned as well?
Oh, yes.
Or was it?
Yeah. The Corbett.
Boy, I'm finding out all kinds of
the
things
Corbett's,
here.
The founded Kingstown.
Are they from this area?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And do they still own Kingstown, or do you know?
I'm not real sure about that now because Mr. Corbett's have passed away.
Okay.
And as to who inherited or who took it over, you need to talk to somebody else about that. I don't really know.
Yeah. Was there, it would be really wonderful to get Steve White and somebody from the Corbett family to talk about, you know, and somebody from Crafty
right.
to talk about. You know, the three places that people worked at
right.
and what they did to get
right.
workers.
I'm sure Steve White would probably like to be interviewed.
Yeah.
I'm sure he probably would.
Yeah, in fact, we're really hoping to interview him. Mm-hmm. His and we want to interview his wife
mm-hmm.
as well. Mm-hmm. Both
and
of them.
L.P. Best was the one that founded Craft Teak, wasn't
he? Exactly right.
And he's still living.
And is he in this area as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
What
right
kind
here on Forest Lake.
What is Kingstown a furniture?
Mattresses.
That's right. So you got the bedroom suits made over at Whites, the mattresses made.
Kingstown.
At the next railroad crossing
exactly.
across the street.
Exactly. And they make good mattress. Kingstown is a very good mattress. It really is.
I wonder what they had going there. So really, the town came up around these
exactly.
around these places.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And there's a railroad, and then the railroad track right through the middle. You know, Whites had a side track up until, what, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, to where they actually pulled boxcars in and shipped furniture out by the boxcar load.
Wow.
Out of Whites. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
In fact, I used to have loads of some of those boxcars on
really?
Occasions.
Would you do... Would they, I mean, say, for example, if there was, you know, if they were busy in another part of the factory, would they pull employees, would, like, supervisors pull employees from a certain part of the factory that might not, wasn't that busy, and they'd move it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Were there specific, what were the places where they would usually have to pull them to, loading and shipping? And
occasionally. I know on occasions when I was still downstairs and hand sanding, you know, I got moved up to the machine sanding
mm-hmm.
up there, which
mm-hmm.
actually did some of the rough sanding
mm-hmm.
up there. And then on occasion, like you say, I had to go out, well, I did go out, help load boxcars or load trucks, you know,
mm-hmm.
just wherever they needed me, that's where I would go.
Right,
you know?
Okay.
But then once I got upstairs, that pretty much took all my time.
Yeah.
Up there, so.
How noisy was the factory?
The machine room was extremely noisy. extremely. You had to wear earplugs.
People had earplugs
down there. And the cabin room wasn't. It was noisy, but it wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. Upstairs, nah.
Not bad at all. I'm almost finished. I'd like to ask you what you thought about the exhibit, and when you went to go to the exhibit and you were looking at the pictures, what were you thinking about? What did you...
The big thing I was really thinking about that exhibit, it was real nice. I would love for them to have been able to get pictures of some of the older employees. Mm-hmm. That was probably my first impression. I got looking at the different employees, mm-hmm. and my first impression was going back to some of the guys that was there earlier.
Mm-hmm. Right out of high school.
Huh?
A lot of them were there right out of high school.
Really?
Well, I'm talking employees back in the 50s and 60s, you know, when I was there. Some of them, some of the pictures, some of the guys up there were there. I've been there all their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there's a lot of other people. You know, all right. Well, like John Tuck, you know, mm-hmm. these folks, you know. I would love for some of their pictures to have been included mm-hmm. in some of this.
Yeah, I, as you say that, I realize when I'm sort of thinking about the exhibit and even thinking about all the pictures that I've seen that weren't in the exhibit, that they weren't, there weren't a lot of the older people or older employees in those pictures. It was mainly, you know, probably people in their 30s and 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in their 50s. Maybe.
We had one gentleman up there who worked there 50 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Earl A. Wilson, black gentleman.
Earl Wilson.
That's his name. Called Red Wilson.
Is he still alive?
No. Oh. No. He worked there 50 years.
50 years?
50 years.
Uh-huh. And he was there when you were there?
Uh-huh. I knew him very well.
When did he stop working?
Ooh.
Do you have any sense? I mean, I'm trying to get an idea of when he started.
I'd say he stopped. This is 94. I'd say probably 1980.
So he worked...
Somewhere along in there. I don't know exactly.
Oh, wow! Did he work in a lot of different areas? I mean...
He worked upstairs in the finishing department.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he worked
mm-hmm.
in the finishing department
uh-huh.
in that...
Uh-huh. Sure did.
How many men were working in the finishing department as opposed to women? You said you mentioned while you were there, there was about 10 women.
Oh, I'd say there's probably one woman to every 10 men.
Whoa. Wow. Uh-huh. So there weren't very many?
No.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. There since were quite a few, in fact.
I understand later there were more.
Yeah.
But I'd say there's probably one woman for 10 men.
Wow.
That
in the finishing
there.
Department. Well, if there's anything that I haven't asked you that you would like people to know for posterity about the factory, this is your opportunity. I know I've asked you a lot of questions, but if you can think of anything that I haven't asked you about that you would like to...
No, I can't think of anything.
I have asked you a lot of questions.
But it was a... I enjoyed the time I was there. Like I said, I had a good bunch of folks that we worked with. Everybody laughed and kidded and cut up. You know.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one experience. This is funny.
Okay.
Mr. Jack Self, who, like I said, was my supervisor,
mm-hmm.
you know, quiet, easygoing fella. They had a big wash-off vat, which is a big square tub, probably 12 feet square, that had like paint thinner and lacquer, and they used it to actually wash the finish off. If a finish was bad,
mm-hmm.
they'd wash it off and refinish it. That's what they set it over in. And Mr. Reginald Dotson, that was one of his main jobs, was
mm-hmm.
to wash off stuff. Well, one time we had a bad batch of finish, so as a result, we probably had 50, 60 dressers and chest drawers to be washed off. Well, this particular day was in the summertime, and it was hot. Okay, and of course all the windows were open, fans were going and all this. And Mr. Seth asked me, will I go down and help Mr. Dotson wash off stuff? I was sort of in limbo at that particular time until I found out what the next shipment was going to be. So I went down, hit Mr. Dotson, wash off, and I enjoyed it. I really did. And I could laugh and talk to him. And then Mr. Self came by probably about an hour later and wanted to check on me at my desk on some stuff I had already run. Well, I walked 10 feet away from that vet with Mr. Self talking to him. And I remember I got just, I couldn't stand up. You know, I got just a staggering all over the place. And Mr. Self said, hey, what's wrong with you? I smarted off something real smart to none of his business. He said, you are drunk. I said, drunk? Hey, nothing. I said, I ain't had nothing to drink. He said, you've been having them fumes, but you're not used to it. I went to the sick room right then. I'll never forget. I told him what to do. Well, nothing wrong with me, you know.
So this Mr. Dotson, because he's been inhaling it all the time, it didn't affect him.
It didn't affect him.
He's dead now.
But I'll never forget that. You know, it wasn't like me to smart off, you know, somebody. But I told him, he was crazy.
Those fumes got to your head.
Drunk. I'll never forget that. I went downstairs to the sick room down in the Vista when I'm home that day. I'll never forget that.
Oh, wow. That's wild. That's wild. That'll do it to you, too. Yeah. I'm sure it will. I'm sure it will.
I woke up with a headache.
Well, and I suppose once you get used to it.
Mm-hmm. You don't pay attention to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially if you're doing it all the time. Mm-hmm.
But in the summertime when they had the mill open, you could drive by there and smell the fumes.
You could.
And my granddaddy worked there, and he would come home for lunch, and you could smell the fumes on him. I don't know what department he worked in.
You could drive by the street and smell the lacquer, the finish. Wow. Out on the street out there.
Wow.
There was nobody complaining back then because it didn't bother you.
I like the smell.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it smelled good.
Smelled like home. And it sure did. Yeah. Well, the final thing that I have to do is turn off the tape recorder. Well, we almost went through